Okay, first off, I want to cover some of the handouts that you have. I typed in Ezekiel chapter 1 in Hebrew for you. Because as we go on, more and more of you will have attain an ability to at least work in Hebrew. Now, verse 4, I broke up by expressions. And the words are very key. The words will be key tonight. The words will be even more so as we go on. You'll notice that one of them is a little bit larger font. This Va'esh Mit Lachat. It's just, I forgot to reduce the font on it. Okay? No great stupendous thing. So I didn't want you to think, oh, that must be important. Now below it, I put Ezekiel chapter 1 from a King James Bible. And if we can read verse 4, it says, "And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire." Now if you'll turn the page, on the back I typed in how it is translated in most of your Jewish Bibles. This was taken out of the Art Scroll Ezekiel series. "Then I looked, and behold, a stormy wind coming from the north, a great cloud with flashing fire and a brilliance surrounding it. And from its midst came a semblance of Hashmal from the midst of the fire. And from its midst a semblance of four Hayot." Now the Hashmal is what was translated in most of the Bibles as amber. It's amber. And you could read through the Bibles, and one translation after another translation after another translation. In fact, you could take Jacinius. And I took Jacinius and I looked up the word Hashmal, and I came up with the word amber. But the word Hashmal, the translators really did not know how to translate it. They took a word from two other languages, one out of Egypt and one out of Mesopotamia, that was similar to Hashmal, that was used for a copper color or an amber color, and that's how we came up with amber. But to the Jewish people, the Hashmal, while it is a color, it is more than a color. Now Daryl and I were talking about this on the way over here. And if I were to say the red, white, and blue, this was his illustration, if I were to say the red, white, and blue, you would immediately identify the American flag. But to other people, it's just red, white, and blue. Now the Hashmal was something specifically to the Jewish people. And certainly by the time we get to the first century, this was known by everyone. I mean, Ezekiel chapter 1 was a topic that even though you didn't go out and teach it, it was something that everybody was familiar with. And so Paul or the other apostles would definitely have had this as their background. I like a particular author, Rabbi Ari Kaplan. And there is a fantastic book. In fact, they have several series of these. You can buy Rabbi Kaplan's books in individual copies, or you can buy an anthology like this particular one. This one covers the Waters of Eden, which we've talked before, which deals with the immersion. Tzitzit, Tefillin, Jerusalem, the Eye of the Universe, and Shabbat, Day of Eternity. Five little books all put into one volume. Rabbi Kaplan was one of the great scholars of our time. He was a very prolific author. He had translated quite a bit of the Me'am Lo'ez commentaries. He died at 40 years old. That is a very young man. But in one of his books, his book on Tzitzit, he talks about the Hashmal. And so we're going to examine it from that aspect tonight. Now, to just continue on very briefly as to your handouts, this is the words that we dealt with last week, and we've typed these out for you. And I'm expecting you to put your own notes in with those. Now, tonight you have kind of got a jump on next week. Rather than getting the words afterwards, you've got the words tonight to help you through this talk that we do on Tzitzit. Basically, I'm going to work through his material in the same order that he has. In the introduction, it tells us, our sages teach us that he who carefully observes the commandment of Tzitzit will be able to behold the face of the all-present God. And that's from the Babylonian Talmud, Menachot 436. And that's specifically because God does not want us to explore after our heart and after our eyes, after which we go astray. Now the word Tzitzit, according to Rabbi Hirsch is one of the greatest commentators of our century. It means to appear in visible form. The word Tzitzit means to appear in visible form. The first question is, why Tzitzit? If you're not familiar with what I'm speaking of when I say Tzitzit, I have here a talit. And on the talit, you have a rectangular garment, and you have four sets of fringes, which these are the tzitzit. This is in need of repair, but these are the tzitzit, the four fringes that hang off the talit. Before you can answer the question of why tzitzit, you come as to a question of where did God come from? In our lives, we know what is right, but we have all types of things that rise up in our lives that make us forget what is right. And in realizing this, God gave the tzitzit to be a reminder of his commandments, to be a constant reminder. We're going to look at several passages. They shall be your tzitzit, and you shall see them, and remember all of God's commandments, and obey them, and not stray after your heart and eyes, which lead you to immorality. Now, I don't have the address of where that is. Let me see if I can get this real quick for us. Turn to Bamidbar, Numbers 15, verse 40. Numbers 15, verse 40. And by the way, this is part of the Shema, the three paragraphs that you have with the Shema. We'll start reading in verse 37 through 41. Again, the Lord spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel, tell them to make tzitzit on the corners of their garments throughout the generations, and to put a blue thread or a thread of tekhelet. Now you'll have the word tekhelet on your list, should be the last word, in the tzitzit of the corners. The word for corners is kanaf, K-A-N-A-F. It's also translated in your Bible as wings. Corners are wings. And you shall have the tzitzit that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined, and that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy for your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Now, you'll note over and over that it's going to have several different... each time tzitzit will be brought up, it will have about it being upon the corner of your garments. The purpose is that you would remember all the commandments of the Lord, that you would not follow after harlotry. And specifically, you should note in verse 39, the last little phrase, and your own eyes are inclined. Specifically with tzitzit, it will have a connotation to look at. To look at. And over, it will bring you back to, He is the God that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now, immediately before this, in chapter 15, verse 32 to 36, you have a man that has violated the Sabbath, and they take him out and stone him. And the very next thing is the commandment to have tzitzit. There's a midrash that explains that God taught Moses that this man had sinned specifically because he did not have anything to remind him constantly of his responsibility. In response to this, God gave the commandment to the tzitzit. Now that's midrash. Okay, another thing that you need to have down in your notes. So we allow the tzitzit to be a constant reminder, keeping us from being misled by worldly temptations. We will form the habit of remembering God's commandments. This, in turn, will ultimately lead us to become holy. That is, immersed in the godly rather than in our worldly desires. Okay, now, the last phrase here, about I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. This is a unique event in the annals of history. It was the only time that God ever revealed himself to an entire people, literally changing both the course of nature and history. From Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 34, if you'll turn there. Deuteronomy 4, verse 34. You should be asking the question, what does this have to do with Ezekiel? It does, believe me. Or did God ever try to go and take for himself a nation from the midst of another nation by trials, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand, and an outstretched arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Go to Shemot, chapter 20, Exodus 20, second verse. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Please go to Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 6. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Turn back to the book of Vayikra, Leviticus. Go to chapter 19. We'll go to the 36th and 37th verses. You shall have just balances, just weight, a just ephah, and a just heen. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe all my statutes and all my judgments and perform them. I am the Lord. Vayikra chapter 25 and verse 25. If one of your brethren becomes poor and has sold some of his possessions, and if his kinsman redeemer comes to redeem it, then he may redeem what his brother sold. It's not it. Let me read this to you. And maybe we can find it. It says, the children of Israel are my servants whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. I am God your Lord. 42. For you, for they are my servants who have brought out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as slaves. Okay, I'm fairly certain that would be it. Okay, now, because in Bamidbar 15, verse 41, in Numbers 15, that he given the commandment to wear the tzitzit to be a remembrance of the mitzvot, of the different commandments, so that the people might be holy before God, and then he connects it directly to, because I brought you out of the land of Egypt, because I am the Lord your God, that we would have basically the tzitzit are seen as an insignia, proclaiming that the Jewish people are the subjects of God. We want to define holy. Holy, we've talked about before. It means two things. First, that we are close to God, or we separate ourselves to God. And secondly, that we are separated from things that are ungodly. In other words, whenever you go through the Kiddush, you are recognizing God separated the Shabbat or the festival, and that you are entering into that which God separated. By that action of entering into that which God separated to himself, you are departing from the mundane. You're departing from the world or the worldly. Let's go to Vayikra chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20, and we'll go to the 26th verse. And you shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine. The calling of the Jewish people was to be a special group of people who would undertake to lead the rest of humanity and show them the way and the truth of God. Please go to Yeshayahu, Isaiah chapter 42. We'll go to the 6th verse. In chapter 42, in fact, verses 1 through 9, it deals with the servant or the Eved. I don't have a marker. The Eved, the servant of the Lord. Now, in some passages it will be Israel. In other passages it will be Messiah. In some passages it will apply to both. Let's go to 42 verse 6. Its primary fulfillment is in the Messiah. Its secondary fulfillment is in the Jewish people. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. As I said, its primary fulfillment was in Messiah himself, but its secondary fulfillment is through the Jewish people. Chapter 43, verse 10. You are my witnesses, says the Lord. This is speaking of Israel. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. Yeshayahu, Isaiah chapter 2. What we just read is the commission of the Jewish people. It will come to its fullest when Messiah comes and the kingdom is established. Verse 2 through 4. Now it shall come to pass in the Acharit Yamin, in the latter days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. And all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come. And let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Yaakov. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the Torah and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Please go to the book of Zechariah. We'll be looking at the 23rd verse. 8:23. Did I give you the chapters? The passage that we read out of Isaiah chapter 2, also found in Micah chapter 4, has been interpreted that in the millennium, in the messianic age, that Jews would be in a unique position. A position to exert leadership. In other words, they would be used of the Messiah to teach, to instruct. The question is, who will be the ones deemed capable of spreading God's word to the rest of the world? Our sages teach us that it will be those individuals who are careful to observe the commandment of Tzitzit. Regarding this, the prophet foretold, Zechariah chapter 8, verse 23, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men from every language of the nation shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." Okay, let's break this down. "For thus says Adonai Zevaot, the Lord of hosts." Okay, Zevaot, the Lord, or where you have Adonai, it's Yod Hey Vav Hey, Zevaot. It is a term that deals with the Lord of the armies. "In those days, 10 men from every language." Okay, so when you have 10 men, first off, we have every language. In Judaism, how many languages are there? 70. Okay, but when you have 10 men, what is that referring to? Okay, a minyan, which equals a congregation. Okay, so you have congregations from every language of the nations. Okay, where you have nations, the word is goyim. So it is every language of the pagans. "Shall grasp the sleeve." It is the word kanaf, which we already had. Kanaf is quarters or wings. "Shall grab the kanaf." And it is upon the kanaf that the tzitzit are hung. "Shall grab the kanaf of a Jewish man, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." Now that does have a fulfillment in the messianic kingdom, but it has a fulfillment right now. In fact, what you're doing, that's exactly what you are doing, is coming back to the Jewish people and say, show us the things that God gave to you and what they mean. How do they relate to today and how they relate to the Messiah, his coming, and so forth. Okay, I've shown you a tallit, which this is the tallit. Here, is a tallit katan. A tallit katan. And you can see the tzitzit upon tallit katan, or the small tallit.
Is that what katan is, the small?
Yes. The katan means small.
Is that one born in Israel?
This one?
Yes.
No, I don't think it was built in Israel. It probably was sent from Israel. This is just a newer one. This is a very old tallit katan. Okay, so you see quite a bit of difference between the two. Now, you should be taking your sheet and going down the page with me. I don't know where my sheet is. Here we go. These will basically follow the word order of how that they will be brought up in tonight's lecture. Okay? We're going to look at the tzitzit. Let me ask you something. Why is a talit important? No, it's not. The tzitzit were given by God to do that. Why is a talit important? Nope. It holds the tzitzit. It's important because of the tzitzit. That is what makes the talit important. Is the tzitzit. Let's see. If I come forward, it gets bigger or smaller? Okay, I believe that'll work. Okay, now we're going to define the parts of the tzitzit. This will become very important in understanding a teaching that will be coming up, because we must understand the veils in order to understand the chayot that you have in the Masei Merkava. Okay? Okay, in the tzitzit, of course, you're going to have 4 tzitzit on each garment. I'll get that out later. You have a total of 8 strings on each tzitzit, or more accurately, it's 4 strings that are doubled over, which make a total of 8. You have 5 knots. You can count the knots here. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. 5 knots. You also have 4 groups of windings between the knots. Now, each string has a meaning. Each winding has a meaning. Each knot has a meaning. Each of the strings is made up of 2 threads tightly twisted together. Each of the strings is made up of 2 threads tightly twisted together. Turn in your Bibles to Bamidbar 15, Numbers 15. And verse 38. Speak to the children of Israel, tell them to make tzitzit on the kanaf of their garments throughout their generations, and to put actually put is a bad word. It is to twist. It is the word that you have next. It is petil, P-E-T-H-I-L, of tehelet, or blue wool, that you are to have a twist. Go to Devarim, Deuteronomy, chapter 22. We'll be looking at verses 11 and 12. You shall not wear, and the word that is next is shanetz, which you have spelled for you on your sheet, S-H-A-A-T-N-E-Z, shanetz. which is a mixture of. Now I have, you shall not wear a garment of different sorts, but it is literally a mixture of sha'anets. Such as wool and linen mixed together. You shall make tzitzit on the four corners of the clothing with which you cover yourself. Now, I read it wrong. It doesn't say tzitzit there. Where it says tassels, it is a different Hebrew word. It is the word gedalim. G-E-D-I-L-I-M.